Martin Heidegger claimed that idle talk is something that anyone can take up, which releases one from the task of genuinely understanding. He wrote of public disclosedness, of being with one another, where the loudest idle talk and the most ingenious curiosity keeps things moving, where, in an everyday manner, everything, and at bottom nothing, is happening. We have a different view. We believe that the only way to reach the truth is by talking. Like a man panning for gold in a dung heap, in amongst the blither blather, bad puns and nonsense, one might find a single grain of truth. This is Idle Talk. Open your mind and then your mouth.
Good evening. This is Idle Talk. My name is Rodders, live from the poop deck of the ship of Theseus tonight. It's too hot to do philosophy. No, it's not. Tonight, we are talking about the alienation of the worker and email. How does work make you feel? Does it make you feel angry? Do you feel like you're doing anything? Does it make you feel all out of sorts with the world? Could you be suffering from what Karl Marx would have referred to as the alienation of the worker? That's tonight's topic. And joining me is Nicola. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. Wrong button. Hello.
Hello.
There you are. Good. Are you feeling sufficiently alienated this evening?
Because I forgot to turn my microphone on. Yeah.
Yeah. So the questions are getting easier each week. Last time we did the last show we asked, "What's your favourite film?" And now the hot weather has meant we've degenerated and watered philosophy down to, "Do you like your job?" Honestly, the question tonight, opening things up with, how does your job make you feel? Or if you're currently in between jobs, as they say.
That's quite an alienating question. Yeah, how
did it make you feel?
How do you think it would make you feel?
Really fulfilled, leave me alone. No, it wouldn't, don't worry. So, what we're going to try and do today is talk about Karl Marx, the founding, one of the main proponents and thought generators around communism. Basically an anti-capitalist, and one of the originals, came from a huge school of intellectual, the sort of communism, anti-capitalism movement. The thing I must say about Marx is that he's incredibly difficult to read. We read a commentary on him, you looked up the original text.
I must admit, I zoned out. Anything called
the manuscript at least when he wrote something called the Communist Manifesto.
If it's not on tea stained paper with, you know, matchstick marks around the outsides, it's not worth my attention.
If it hasn't got lots of pictures. Nicola is a freelance illustrator. Karl Marx.
So she only works with pictures.
Yeah, only likes picture books. So it's strange because he. His criticism of capitalism, I think, is very good. His solution, I think, is when things get a little more problematic. But we're not going to talk about really his... we might go into it as an off-topic, but the aim tonight isn't to talk about whether we can fix capitalism, because I think we're kind of stuck with it. It's sort of the best of a bad lot, really. It's good, but that doesn't mean it's in any way pleasurable or fun in the most part. That's just my opinion. But we're going to then try and apply... going to talk about what Marx talked about, the effects of capitalism on the person. It alienates you, makes you feel sort of out of sorts with not only things around you, but yourself, the world, and even your species. Alienation is like I guess it can be, the trouble is alienation is a massive topic. Like, you could read reams and reams of Hegel. And also, one of the most difficult things about Marx is that he was basing a lot of his work on a guy named Hegel, who, if you think Marx is hard to wade through, reading Marx is wading through porridge, then reading Hegel is wading through set concrete. It's very, very difficult stuff, at least I think so. So we're going to talk about Marx's ideas concerning alienation, find out whether we think if he's being overdramatic, whether there really is a problem. And also we're going to try and bring things up today to be really cool and modern and trendy. And then maybe we'll go on social media, guys. Follow me on Bebo, Bebo.com. I do actually want to get a Bebo account for the sake of irony.
I think I still have one.
But people who do things ironically are dicks, aren't they?
Oh.
What did you just do ironically?
know nothing.
You being on this show, an ironic statement, I guess.
Maybe. But, apparently, according to you, I'm novel idiot.
I never so said I that. I said you were at a naive perspective, i.e. never formally educated in a school of philosophy, which you haven't been.
Whatever, you're never getting it out of this.
Well, you coined the phrase yourself. Look, maybe you could start your own podcast about art and then get me on. And then I'd know how it felt, I guess. Do it. I dare you. It'd be hilarious.
Yeah, sure.
So, I'd probably have to produce it, wouldn't I? It'd be a nightmare. But we're going to try and then
Should we do some philosophy?
We're going to try and bring Marx up to date by relating Marxist alienation to nowadays. If Marx was sent to work in your everyday office nowadays, how would he feel? What would he think? He'd probably think things have gone an awful lot worse. Because communication via email, and particularly email in the business world, and LinkedIn and all that sort of thing, has really fundamentally changed the way we act as human beings. I think to the point where we no longer act as human beings. I suppose if you were to ask a Martian what noise does a human make, they wouldn't imitate our speech. They'd probably do something along the lines of the sound of typing, because we tend to type to people rather than to actually talk to people nowadays. So open question tonight: how does work make you feel? Then we're going to explain about Marxist alienation. And we're going to see if any of us, we'll see if we can diagnose, philosophical doctors, see if anybody tonight is suffering from alienation. I think that's a good thing to do. So, oneradio.org/S is where the shout box is, where you can communicate with me, the listeners. If you actually want to talk to me like a human being, you can pick up Skype. Figuratively, because it's a bit of software. The Skype name is rodders.com, RHODERS. Call in at any point, and don't worry about disrupting the flow of the show. But make sure, if you're going to call in, please mute the one radio player. Otherwise, we get caught in an infinite feedback loop. And the concept of infinity would take at least, I think, 3 episodes of Idle Talk even to begin to explain. It's quite a big topic. So this is Idle Talk on oneradio.org. We're talking about Marxist alienation and how work makes one feel. Let me know how work makes you feel in the chat room now. oneradio.org/S.
Having a rave in Plato's cave.
This is Idle Talk. Tonight we're talking the alienation of the worker and email. We'll get onto email in a bit, though. You can always drop me an email at radio@rodders.com. I will neurotically reply to the email at 4 in the morning when I should be asleep. Like it seems to be expected of anyone in a job nowadays. Oh no, I must check my BlackBerry.
That's when I send all my emails. If anybody gets a work-related email from me, it's always about 4 in the morning. I don't know why. That's when I sit down and go through all my emails and reply to the ones that need reply.
If you only sit down at 4 in the morning, your chairs must last an awful long time. Basically, let's talk about what Karl Marx was talking about. He said that the capitalist system, i.e. Private ownership, let's use the example, factory workers is a sort of prime example, because it gets more and more difficult to relate Marx. It sometimes becomes difficult to relate Marx to nowadays, because Marx was living in a time where work really meant working in a factory, something industrial, something practical, something
when
farming.
When was this?
You can never pin me down to dates, because half the joy of doing philosophy...
I thought it was like 1800s.
It was quite a long time ago. See, this is the joy of doing philosophy at university. You're never asked, when did Plato live? You don't have to know that sort of thing.
I should totally have done philosophy.
Because I can't remember dates. You have to remember arguments, and sometimes you have to remember logical formulae, but you never have to know any sort of background in the historical sense. I wasn't very good at history. But it was a long time ago, and so definitely before... Where in Russia, like the majority of the industry would have been in factories or on the land, if you're a peasant worker. Hello, Rod is here with a quick correction for the podcast. Nicola was in fact right. Karl Marx was around in the 1800s, and he wrote his first economic and philosophic manuscript in 1844, in which he mentions the idea of estranged labour and alienation. And there are sort of the capitalist system where you have private ownership of businesses and people are paid by bosses to do certain tasks. Marx because it's sort of like whatever you do, you don't own. And Marx said there were three types of alienation. It's sort of like a bit of a simplified view of it, but we're going to sort of try and rattle through. The worker relates himself to his work as an alien object and even hostile to himself. For example, like through his labour, the worker puts his life and his sort of energy into this object. For example, say he's making toy cars. He's in the factory. He's putting all his energy into making this toy car. But he doesn't own the toy car. It's not his. So in a sense, it is abstract and therefore alien from him. And it gets even, and he doesn't really reap the fruit. He gets a salary at the end of the month, but he doesn't reap directly the fruits of his own labour, so to speak. And it's because sort of capitalism takes this from him. And that means he becomes more and more estranged from the products he's creating. And it becomes worse than that, because he might not even be seeing the whole thing through to completion. If it was a very big factory, maybe he's the one that just screws the window, that screws the wheels on the car. And then someone else then puts the wing mirrors on. So he never really sees the final product. So there's not even a fleeting sense of, oh, I did that, just as the car sails off into the lorry to be taken to the toy shop. So there's no sense of satisfaction. And Nicola is, as I said earlier, Nicola's a freelance illustrator. So you will get paid. Someone will say, I don't know, this is probably a radical oversimplification of your I can't even say the word now. Oversimplification of your business, but basically I'd pick up the phone, talk to your agent and say, oh, I really want a picture of a daffodil, and you would sit there probably for hours and hours drawing and painting and creating an image of a daffodil to suit my brief. And then you have to give it away. So you've invested this time and this effort, just sort of like this factory worker. You've and I think doing something artistic involves putting more of yourself into something. There's more space for artistic expression and putting, say, essence of your personality into these things.
I find this a really odd concept, though, because I feel like what would I do with this picture of a daffodil if not send it off to be published?
I've got a hoarding mentality, though. I guess it's different, though, because at least
I guess I still get to keep the picture of the daffodil.
Do you?
But, well, it's still on my computer.
Yeah, oh, I guess this changes, isn't it? But I say, oh, that's. But what if, say, if you're working a long time ago, you actually had to give the original away and could have no. Would that be different?
Is it probably,
if I had the talent to draw a picture, the hell would I give the picture to anyone else? Like, I made that, it's mine.
But I feel like the purpose of me doing it is for it to be published. And so when it's made into a greetings card or a canvas or something, that product exists and I can say I did that. And that's sort of the point of me doing it. I don't feel like there would be any purpose of me doing it otherwise if it wasn't for the end result. So I find it a really odd concept that people feel like they're not doing it for any reason.
But what if you're... But can you see how the worker in the factory might become sort of feel estranged from the product? Because it doesn't...
Why would they want to keep that toy car when they can have the money for a real car?
But in the short term, I think, yeah, it's a good point.
I feel I can get that if you're not producing it for yourself, then your heart would maybe not be in it. And if you're screwing a wheel on a toy car, on millions of toy cars that go across this conveyor belt every day, you'd feel like you don't really put you into it, I guess.
Yeah, no, I suppose it's
probably my job is a difficult one to put the analogy into, because it's a really creative job and it's something I enjoy doing.
I thought that would make it worse, though. Obviously, it doesn't, because also you must be made to draw things you're really not interested in and have to make yourself do. It's like if I love doing radio, but if I was made to do a program on gardening, I'd think, oh, for God's sake, I think I might feel a bit of Marxist alienation there, because I'd just be doing this thing and it wouldn't really have me in it, but it is me. And I think, oh, for goodness. I'd be sort of holding this thing at arm's length, which would be this podcast on gardening. Rodders in the Garden, now number 12 on iTunes. Ooh.
The best way, I think, to apply it to this is... in the situation where I'd be asked to do a greetings card design that's going to be licensed out to a company that's going to use it, and it's not going to have Nicola Patton illustration on the back.
Oh.
So it would be,
So like M&S if you designed a bit of clip art or something, Because no one will ever know even who made those weird drawings we always see in Microsoft clip art.
A lot of most greetings cards that people buy nowadays don't have the artist's name on. So
that's weird, isn't it? Why would they?
All the cards at Marks and Spencer's are designed by an imprint of Hallmark.
Marks and Spencer's, eh? Oh, it's all coming together. Karl Marx was right. Down with capitalism! Oh, dear. So Karl Marx and Spencer's, if anyone from the government are listening, I'm not really anti-capitalist. I am actually very capitalist and I quite like owning stuff. I will admit that. I like having stuff. And so does everyone.
But yeah, so your name won't go on it.
That's weird,
so,
isn't it?
So nobody will know that it was me that did it. But I don't know if I've not been a freelancer for very long, so maybe that's why it doesn't bother me so much at the moment. But I feel like to be able to have something in my portfolio and say, I did this and now it's in Marks and Spencer's, I feel like
that's... Can anyone relate out there in the chat room or on Skype? Do you feel a sense of alienation? And I hope we've defined alienation properly, because it's quite a hard thing to define. Do you feel this in your work? Let me know. Niall writes in and goes, my issue with Marx is he thinks of people as machines whose main purpose is work. Why is alienation a bad thing? Why should personhood be associated with what I do? Tried to find some McGuinness around a fiver a bottle. Oh, sorry, I just read the next comment from Klob, who is going on about wine. I love it how instead of engaging with the topic, most of our listeners are just getting drunk. Well, there is a great affinity between wine and philosophy. I think the two can go hand in hand.
They usually do.
But that's a very good point that Niall has raised. Why is... Because Karl Marx actually... he defines work as a process of transforming physical matter, e.g. raw materials, into objects of sustenance. And he defines what you are. You are what you do, in Marxist terms. And Niall is questioning that. And also, why is alienation such a bad thing? Like, sure, like, till 9 to 5, you might be a bit alienated, but then you can go home and do something you really care about, and the alienation means you get a salary.
Yeah, like my other job, I work in a shop, and I feel like I like the fact that I can go home and not think about what I've done. Like,
now go home and don't think about what you've done.
My
like a teacher, sorry.
Yeah, you are a bit. My freelance work, I'm thinking about all the time. If I've got a brief on, then I'm thinking about that all the time. Whereas, you know, if you're doing a job where you go home and that's it, you're not thinking about, did I leave my biro in the right place on my desk today? I guess that's kind of a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And Niall's also saying people are more than just their jobs. But I think maybe we can take things in a broader sense. You are what you do is not just jobs-wise. I think Marx wouldn't just pin it down to occupation.
It seems like people
but
are,
also, certain jobs attract certain people. And I love telling people that my day job is I'm on the radio. I'm a radio presenter. And I have... I feel stupidly individualistic, actually, but I feel I at least have some things in common with a lot of people who work in the same industry as me. And the trouble is nowadays, jobs now are so nebulous. Like, if you say, oh, I work in, say, marketing, or I work in HR. These job titles are so broad and nebulous, it's impossible to pin down any characteristics.
Well, yeah, the thing is...
And a lot of jobs, they don't really do... Like, if you ask somebody, what's your job? They give a 10-minute explanation and you still don't have a clue what they do. Hasn't something gone a bit wrong? Is there some, in some sense, that they're doing nothing?
Yeah. Well, when you meet someone, the first thing you ask is, what do you do? That's how you introduce yourself. And the answer's never, well, I get up around 9... And then I'll watch Jeremy Kyle and have some cornflakes.
That's what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to answer the question in a very literal sense next time.
I eat, I sleep, I drink.
Well, I seem to spend most of my time respiring, and once a week I'll probably sneeze.
You know, the answer is always, I'm in marketing, or I'm in sales, or I'm in HR, or whatever.
Yeah, or...
And my response is almost always, oh, Anyway.
Yeah, it is, because these are such nebulous jobs.
Yeah.
Really now, our country especially, England, if you can't tell accents, England doesn't really do anything. It exports services. So if you want a systems data solutions provider, come to England. We've got loads of them. No one knows what they do. They don't know what they do. But there we go. It's not like in the old days where, I am a carpenter. Like, you know, I do stuff with wood.
It's much easier when it's like that. I feel like I like my answer to that question, because if you say I'm an illustrator, it's something people can go, oh, cool. You know, what does that entail?
Yeah, and Simon writes in, my job is easy to define. A hairstylist, sorted. Ah, so, oh, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I imagine there's a huge degree of... Do you work in a chain, or is it an independent? How much creativity do you get? Because I had a friend who worked in a well-known coffee shop, but she wasn't allowed to put patterns in the coffee. It wasn't allowed to have any all the coffee had to be exactly the same, and she said she felt a sense. It was my friend Daisy who did a module which talked a lot about alienation and Marxism, and she said she felt alienated by the fact she was by her activities in this coffee shop, because she was allowed to. She just had to sort of mechanically give people the same sort of lattes.
It's that aspect in a lot of work that I think make people really frustrated, is like uniforms and things.
Yeah, it's incredibly strange. So we're going to go into more depth about how this, the alienation, Marx believed alienation not only stems from, makes us alienate from our products, it also alienates us from everything. It's a much more deep-seated problem. This is Idle Talk.
Idle Talk on One Radio.
Good evening, you're listening to Idle Talk, and tonight's topic is Marxist alienation, and we're going to try and bring that up to date and think about how the topic of alienation of the worker relates to today's modern way of working, particularly with things like email. But firstly, I need to remind you, last week, myself and I had a guest co-host, Siobhan O'Reilly, who is a philosophy graduate and soon-to-be student at the Met Film School. We talked about, on last week's show, about whether philosophy can be articulated in any meaningful way by films. Can films be philosophical, and you know, are films better than books at articulating these ideas? You can go download those podcasts right now at itunes.rodders.com, or that's a shortcut to get you into the iTunes store. Or if you don't use iTunes, you can get us on audioboo.fm/idletalk, and you can listen to the past shows without even having to leave your browser, and also via the Audioboo app on the iPhone and the Android phone, which is a very, very cool way of listening, I think. I think we should probably have a definition of capitalism, please, Nicola. So this will sort of help get
things going. Time to shine.
So, yeah, the part you were born to play. Dictionary.
I knew there was a point in this accent. Capitalism. In a capitalist society, human needs are defined by the system of private ownership. Instead of mere food, clothing, and shelter, human beings need money. In capitalism, self-denial becomes a cardinal virtue, with the moral ideal embodied by the miser and the thrifty worker scrimping and saving. Everything and everyone is treated in terms of utility and pride. Capitalism demands that people be oriented to the world in this way simply to secure their own survival. In such a system, the worker quickly becomes conscious of this deprived and miserable status in relation to the capitalist. The solution to this situation of alienation is communism, which does away with alienation by doing away with the system of private property that creates it.
Yeah, so basically it's talking about how you, in one level, you are defined by your jobs, and it's all about that's basically what's the driving force behind capitalism. It's about, and it's called capitalism, it's your capital that matters. And it's weird that the need for money sort of subverts all other needs, and money is not, it's not like I'm hungry, I need some food. It's I'm hungry, I need some money to go buy the food. It's like this, that's weird when put like that, isn't it?
It is quite weird.
I'm really hungry, I need some specially designed bits of paper and metal to exchange with somebody for food. Very weird when put like that. But Niall wrote in earlier and said, does it matter that we're alienated? That's probably a good point, because Marxism generally tends to be, it's anything sort of with a Marxist vein, tends to be reactionary and very angry. Do you remember doing the show on Adorno? Did you?
Yes.
Adorno on giving. He was a Marxist philosopher, and a lot of it was very, very overdramatic. And you just think, Adorno, you're talking about Christmas presents. I mean, for God's how important is it? So maybe it doesn't matter that we're alienated. Maybe you could go to work. I was alienated from 9 to 5. You know, it didn't kill me. It's not like radiation.
I feel like you're not really supposed to enjoy it, are you? Like, the reason you get money for it is because it's not fun. If it was fun enough, you wouldn't expect to have a reward for doing it.
But you need to make a living, don't you? Even fun
exactly.
jobs have to pay.
Well, yeah. That's the ideal, but it doesn't always work like that.
Kolob writes in, Marx was correct in a way. People are just part of the production machine which keeps the country occupied and producing goods and services for all.
It's kind of just to stop boredom.
Yeah, because like,
if you don't have a job, you get really bored.
You do, don't you? Like, I work very irregularly at the moment, and the weeks when I happen to be most fed up always happen to coincide when I've got least work on. And I don't think that's in any way a coincidence.
Definitely me too. Like,
I enjoy my job a lot.
I work part time in the shop and part time freelance, and if I don't have any freelance work coming in. Once I've sent my emails out begging for work, it gets really boring just sitting there.
Marx would respond to the criticisms we've raised by sort of saying that the work that the worker performs does not belong to the worker, but it's just a means of survival the worker is forced to perform. As such, working is an activity that does not spring spontaneously from within as a natural act of creativity, but rather it exists outside of him and signifies a loss of himself. And then this leads, it gets worse. Can you believe it? It gets worse.
He must have been a miserable old
I think he was. He had a very grumpy looking beard. Alienation from species being or human identity. That's what happens to us next. So the process of acting on transforming inorganic matter into create things and basically doing work. Then sort of it clashes with the core identity of being human. So we're alienated from our products and then ourselves, and then from that, the entire world and species. It's a dire state of affairs.
God, what a misery guts.
Yeah, I know.
I'd love to have seen what he was like on his birthday.
If someone just got him money in his card, he'd be so annoyed, wouldn't he?
Like, oh, for goodness sake! No. But, have you not listened to anything I've been saying?
No, I'm feeling very alienated. Oh, dear. But I don't know. I kind of get what he means, though. I think particularly... But maybe I can't distinguish alienation from being bored. Like, I worked in a sports clothing shop for, all of a month or so, because it was so
dire. Was it
dire.
A whole month?
It was.
It
was awful. Because I didn't give a toss about the tatty tracksuits we were selling. I went in there with very low expectations. I thought I'd do this boring activity for a bit, and if I worked hard, maybe the manager would be pleased. And so so there could be some sense of being amicability there, and then I'd go home. But it just became everything was pointless, and getting money. I really thought that being paid for it would be a consolation for the feeling of just absolute pointlessness. It was like being imprisoned, I think, in a sense. I just can't deal with those sort of jobs.
I think, okay, so that's alienation to the product that you're working with.
I think it was really, really...
You didn't care about sports clothing.
Yeah.
Did you?
No.
Whereas
and I don't think anyone in there does.
A lot of people do. Well,
I'm really passionate
shop,
about tracksuits.
And I'm very passionate about art and crafts.
I guess it's different, isn't it? Like,
so I can talk to customers about what they're buying with a genuine interest.
I really didn't care what I was selling.
Yeah.
It's a lot of it. I think even if you were a connoisseur of sports gear, you would think it was crap.
Possibly. I mean, you have your climbing interests and things, so I guess...
Yeah, but I don't think I could even work in a climbing
shop.
You
probably wouldn't ever buy your climbing shoes or anything from that
shop. Sports Direct, no, definitely not. It would be absolutely rubbish.
Like, other sports clothing companies are available.
Well, they've all gone broke, haven't they? Good job too. Stupid places. But It is a weird one because it was really bad timing because I learned whilst attending lectures about Marxist alienation, I got a job in a sports shop. I thought it was really, really bad timing. And
perhaps that's why you didn't get on with it quite so well as you could have.
Yeah, I think it definitely coloured my experience. But also, I don't think I would have lasted much longer anyway, to be honest.
Niles put, there's some truth to the alienation from species. Being human is associated with your wealth. When people pass homeless people, they look down on them as less than them.
That's because they're sitting down, though, isn't it? Normally sitting on the ground, so you have to look
down
on them.
Not necessarily, not if they're selling the big issue.
Yeah, but I don't view them as, that's working, not begging. I don't view them as beggars. I view them differently.
Don't pass that phrase off as your own.
No, it's a good
you
one, isn't it?
Disgust me.
Someone in marketing came up with that one. I know. I think it's a good one. But yeah, no, you are. I think Niall, I'm being flippant. Niall makes a very good point there, actually. It is to do with... Because they don't have a job and they are viewed as almost a separate species, aren't they? Really?
But that's the game.
People talk about the homeless. And...
Yeah, definitely. But then that's kind of the game of life that makes it more interesting, is it? That's what gives people something to strive for. Like if we lived in a communist world where everybody, you know, earned the same regardless of what they do and stuff.
Yeah, I don't, and also I think there's like I think we should, probably shouldn't digress into communism too much. It's a huge topic that we don't have time for. But I think there's another thing that public property. You know the phrase "public property is nobody's property." That's why people don't feel any remorse about vandalising public things because they're nobody's in particular. It's a big criticism.
But nobody's got anything to strive for, have they? If there aren't different classes, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, but there's got to be opportunity. Maybe there's not enough opportunity to be mobile. And also, you can't have... trouble is you've got to have so many people at the bottom, so the majority of people can't ascend to the next social class. That's sort of
I think, it's definitely skewed, but the idea...
But also, I think we're not going to come up with a solution to capitalism, but the thing I don't like is that everything's just for the sake of money, and also, it's not even... It's also a very short-termist view of money. Like, it's how much money can we make at the end of the month? That is what drives businesses. They don't really... And what matters is profit and loss. If a company makes a loss but can still be floated but is doing a real power of good, it's not... I don't think it's a failed company. But yeah, most people would class that as a failure. People just look at numbers and look at money in isolation. That's what I don't like about the system we found ourselves in.
What is it then if it's not fair? Oh, yeah, I kind of see what you mean, I guess.
It's successful, but not in the financial sense. Because, you know, it gets to a point, why do you need more money? It's like, great, Z corporations are up by 20%. So what? They don't pass on the benefit to the workers. The odds are they won't get a raise. So what's the point? It's like in Sports Direct. At the end of a shift, the manager would go, oh dear, we're trailing behind Sports Direct in Oxford. I cannot do anything about that. And B, I don't care. I'm not on commission. I have no stake in this shop. Why were they even telling me that?
We get that. It's like, oh, we only earned 10 grand today. It's normally the average for today would be about 12 and a half. And it's I'm not going to see any of that, am I? So
no,
we're not going to get a little bit extra in our pay packet saying, well done, we earned 15 grand this weekend, you know.
Yeah, it's absolutely...
We should all go work in furniture shops.
Yeah, will that be, what, are we all on commission there?
Yeah, you get commission.
Oh, I think that's...
I'd be dreadful.
I'd hate it. It's like,
this is why I haven't applied to be on The Apprentice
It's
yet.
Like, oh no, we've made a bit of a loss this month.
Whoop-de-doo! What does it all mean?
It just doesn't mean anything. It's pointless.
I'd never sell a camper van.
They go for a lot of money, apparently. Anyway, let's try and relate this. We've now sort of covered Marx's alienation in some sense. And I think there really is some weight in it. Whether alienation is harmful, because if someone works a rubbish job, treats it as a means to an end, and then finds fulfilment by, I don't know, playing football in the evenings, or teaching dance, or whatever, have an activity that they can define themselves more properly as, then it doesn't really matter that the alienation is just a means to an end. So is it really a problem? They seem to be curing the alienation by treating it as a means to an end. But I don't think Marx would like that. He said, no, even when you're doing what you like, capitalism's made it smelly or something. It
depends, again, what your priorities are. Like we say on every single topic we do.
In the words of Hermione Granger, you need to get your priorities right. Ron Weasley, God. But let's try and relate this now to the workplace nowadays. Do you think we're more alienated and we're more estranged from each other because of technology? Like, you're more like, it's not unusual to send an email to someone who's sitting across the room to you. We're going to delve into that in the last 15 minutes of the show.
Idle Talk on One Radio.
This is Idle Talk, oneradio.org. Thanks for joining us tonight. So do you think we are more alienated now because of the way work has changed because of technology? It's not even unusual to send an email to someone who is sitting directly opposite you in an open plan office.
Really?
Yeah, that honestly happens a lot. Because I know a lot of people who work in offices, including my dad, and he comes home and my dad doesn't like sending too many emails. He often walks around. Someone sent him an email across the room once, and he walked over to them and said, "Why are you sending me an email? You could have just looked up and talked to me." And a lot of people, they won't even pick up the phone now. They'll just send email after email after email. And it's I think it's weird, isn't it? I think it's a very peculiar way of working. And do you find that? Because, well, even with your work, you have to deal with emails and the weird way we've come to. I think we've become less human.
I quite like it. I think it makes it easier for people like me that have a phobia of telephone conversations. I'm not too bad now having... if I'm at work in a shop, I can call customers and say, you know, your order's ready, or, you know, we couldn't get this in stock, but we've got something similar. That's fine. But I wouldn't want to send an email. I wouldn't want to phone up somebody, a prospective client, and say, you know, I really want to work for you or something. I find it much easier to do that in an email. Because it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that just me?
Yeah,
I think the world is made much easier for people like me that
are
a bit shy.
Maybe it's made you more reclusive, because there is this option. Maybe if you were forced to actually talk to people face to face, you wouldn't be so reclusive and you'd...
I don't think so. I think it's made me more confident, actually, being able to, because you can ease yourself into it a bit more.
But it is peculiar the way
it's
in which
it's more accessible.
It is, yeah. Wesley writes and he says, "Where I work, we sometimes have product recalls that have to acknowledge that we have done it by emails, and it's a pain." He says, "But it is weird. We just send all these messages around the place. I think we're forgetting how to talk to each other. And you often see in restaurants people sitting around a table not talking to each other, all on their phones."
That's definitely weird, isn't it? Affected the way that certain industries run. It's definitely changed the way that the industry I work in has run completely.
And also the fact that, I remember Microsoft, their strap line was, "You're never out of the office." I was like, how's that a selling point? That's a terrible thing. Basically now people are sitting in bed next to their husbands or wives, sending emails on their phones. And that's just weird, isn't it? That now work is sort of, at least, I guess you could stop being alienated by leaving the office and partaking in life, talking with your husband or wife or what have you, going out and playing sport or whatever. But now, you're never out of work. So in the Marxist sense, Marx would probably view people as being constantly alienated.
I remember this time last year, I was on holiday in Spain, and I remember sitting in a cafe by the sea with palm trees and signing contracts and saving files on my laptop as high resolution and emailing them off to clients and things, because I had a deal come through that I didn't want to pass up. And so I spent pretty much most of that day in and out of cafes with my laptop sending things off.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like, I came back
in the sunshine in Spain, drinking sangria.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like, that's not how... What the world's gone... It's got the... Because surely you work in order to live.
It's quite good, because if you're in a position where you are freelance, you can't afford sometimes to pass up on things like that. And
I had a very similar, because I write a couple of radio adverts, and I got an email when I came back from a climbing trip. So at 2 a.m, I was writing an advert for a bra shop. It's just absolutely insane. Martin's written something in. Do you want to read that?
I'm in marketing and sell SMS text messaging services to businesses. You've got to change with the times, and text marketing works brilliantly.
I hate text marketing. I don't like people texting me that I hate getting messages like that on my phone.
It depends if they're giving you something free.
But I never trust them. I always assume they're a scam. I think that.
I guess I get loads from O2 and they give loads of stuff away for free, so that's good.
I think it's really weird. And there was a survey done. I read this in the BBC magazine section of the website. 70% of people are not engaged or actively disengaged with their work in a recent survey answered. And a guy called Dave Coplin, who is a bigwig in Microsoft, has a couple of reviews on this. He sees technology as part of the problem, rather than creating a world where we're able to. Where the ability to work anywhere frees us up to enjoy life more. The opposite is happening. It's because we're doing emails when we shouldn't be doing them. He's got a great quote here. He says, "I grew up on Star Trek and comic books and had the belief that technology is a force that's supposed to bring positive things to society. Then I look around at what we're doing and see how technology has become a cage for a lot of people." It
definitely is. I hate now being anywhere without my phone. Or, you know, without access to the internet or anything. Because I get stressed out that I'm missing out on something.
He says, I agree with his criticism. He says that email is an out-of-date use of technology rather than picking up the phone. It is odd that we sit there, if we put just as much effort into writing emails as we did to doing work, then we could probably leave at 4 o'clock. And also the thing I don't like is about, I think this is a very capitalist mentality, is we make enough, it's never enough to make enough money at the end of the month, we've got to always have more, and it's just this pointless upping of goals. The Victorians believed that with technology you could work half a day, you'd use technology to get more work done, and then at lunchtime you could go fishing or write poetry and be more leisurely. But now, just because we can do more work, we just do more and more and more. And also, with every advance, it's just put us more pressure. And it's pointless, really, don't you think?
That's definitely true. And also, it opens up a lot of scope for procrastinating as well. You get people sitting in offices. I've walked around London before and walked past these.
Every computer's on Facebook, isn't it? It's like libraries in universities.
Yeah. But you walk past these big glass-fronted buildings and they look really posh and they've got reception with a palm tree and... That's my definition of a posh business.
Yeah,
no. If you've got a palm tree, you've made it.
Yeah, that's most ad agencies, I think.
Yeah, you walk past these men in suits and it's like, Facebook.
Yeah, email. Westy, missing the point, says, email, save trees, etc., although we still print them off.
I don't think I've ever printed an email.
I never see the point. Anyway, so do you think that the way he goes on about, this guy, Dave Coplin, goes on about working flexibly, and I think his solution, he didn't really say much in this article, although I'm going to be charitable because I read a paraphrased article on the BBC website. I haven't actually watched any of his talks, so I'm not going to attack him. But I think that, do you think that, I think Marx would be horrified at the way capitalism has evolved in this modern age, whereas with every advance that should make life easier, just puts us under more pressure to make money for the big man, the boss,
or woman, not to be sexist.
Every aspect has been blown really far out of proportion, I think. Like, the goals are higher, the sort of things that you can buy with your money, I guess, are bigger and shinier, and... You know, more people are rich now, more people are poor.
Yeah, it's a relative term.
Everything,
isn't it?
Like it's just spiraling out of
control. People who are poor in this country are millionaires compared to people starving in Ethiopia. And it's a relative. Yeah. The hunger for materialism just has been exacerbated by capitalism, I think.
Because, what's it going to be like in another 100 years' time?
Well, I think we'll be dead. I think the world will have ended. Go on,
guys. You heard it here
first,
folks.
Turn the Hadron Collider on. Give it another kick. I was so disappointed about that. But I think that's what's weird about. Well, the situation we find ourselves in, it gets to a point, having a materialistic goal of your life doesn't make sense, because you can always have another swimming pool or another mansion. It's insatiable and ultimately leads to no sort of sense of fulfillment.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my ultimate goal was to own a bear from the bear factory. And now I've grown out of that and I'm still not happy. And I did get my bear.
And yeah, is it? You just
now
move
I want
on.
A car.
But thanks very much for listening tonight. This has been Idle Talk. I think we've almost come to a conclusion. I think Marx, if alienation, we're unconvinced that alienation is as wide ranging a problem as Marx suggested. But we definitely think that the way we use technology now, technology isn't to blame. I think it's the way we use it, I think it's definitely problematic. Thanks very much for joining tonight. I've been Rodders and you've been...
Nicola.
What's your Twitter or website address?
I don't know.
So you need someone to do marketing for you.
My web address is nicolapatton.com.
Thanks very much. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. This is Rodders signing out for another Idle Talk.